Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
This is the Annie Fry Show. This is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and this is the day that Donald Trump has been sworn in to become the 47th President of the United States. Thank you for being with us here today. We are going to be covering the developments as they continue to happen. We've listened to the inauguration ceremony, the swearing in. President Trump now made his way into Emancipation Hall, which is in the Capitol, to talk to some of the overflow crowd. We listened to that before. Now I want to play for you what took place just to hear from Joe Biden, former President Joe Biden. We had to conduct a little experiment here, right? It's journalism. Sometimes when it sounds fun.
Yeah. We dabble.
And this is why we dabble. So we thought we were listening to President Trump speaking. We're carrying that for you. But they had a split screen up on the news channels we were watching, and they were showing that the Bidens were making their way to a huge hangar at Joint Base Andrews Airport because they board a plane and they leave. They probably go to one of their vacation homes that they've been frequenting for 40% of the former president's presidency. So we thought, oh, well, I wonder if Fox is going to carry that speech, which they didn't. So I pulled up. I was like, let's listen to MSNBC. We got to hear and see what they're doing. And it sounded a little bit like this.
The wrath, like the story with Nancy Pelosi, I offered a 10,000 soldiers.
Donald Trump is giving unscripted remarks in Emancipation Hall after his inaugural address, sort of giving a sort of fantasy riff about strangling people. On the right side of your screen, former President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden are addressing their family and staff and friends at a hangar at Joint Base Andrews. Let's dip in there for a moment.
As you heard me say before, no president gets to choose the moment they enter history, but they get to choose the team they enter history with. And we chose the best damn team in the world. You are. No, it's because of you. I mean this sincere from the bottom of my heart. Because of you, we got so much done for all Americans. I look down there, my Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, and cheated only by his wife who worked in reverse. But look, I only hope to look back on these years, hope you look back on them, the same pride I have of all you've done. And I'm proud of is that you did it upholding the core values of honesty, decency, and integrity. I mean, no scandal. I mean, it's incredible what you did.
Okay, gotta pause. No scandal? Why did you pardon your whole family? in like, the two strikes... Bottom of the ninth, two outs. And you're like, I'm going to slide this one in the door. The pardons came through. They're preemptive pardons for crimes against the United States, for his brother Jim, among, I think it was like five people listed there. I didn't realize this, but there are more pardons that came out today. I'm gonna send this link to myself because I want to play it. But just listening to just listening to him stand here on this tarmac and say things that you kind of expect Joe Biden to say, but in that Joe Biden way, where you have to lean in and squint one eye to try to make out what this man is saying. It's interesting, the juxtaposition between listening to Joe Biden up there mumbling and trying to get through a basic statement right after we heard Donald Trump, who went on, I'll say, in front of the overflow room of supporters who were not able to participate in the inauguration ceremony the way they had initially intended, but then they changed the setup and everything. So what he was doing, and he kind of said this at the end, we were talking about this off the air, Donald Trump gave him the A-plus treatment. He spent time with them on an incredibly important day because those people were important to him, to his presidency, to his reelection, and he wanted to give them that time, and he did. He can talk and talk and talk, and I know if you hate the man, you don't love it. But what we just left was a man who can't intentionally string together sentences to a man who could go on forever if you let him.
Yeah, in the 11 our time, in the 11 o'clock hour, we saw Donald Trump give a teleprompter like planned speech at the Rotunda. Then in the 12 o'clock hour, we saw Donald Trump give a speech that I don't know that he even had notes. I mean, he just was freewheeling for at least 45 minutes, if not about 50 to 55 minutes. Within that 50 minutes is when you saw Joe Biden come up and give his speech. Now, just for context, you heard the beginning of that, going straight from MSNBC into that speech. That speech, we watched it while Trump was speaking. It lasted maybe 10 minutes. Maybe 10 minutes. And it was exactly what you heard.
So in addition to what we've been seeing today, I didn't even realize, because that this is intentional, certainly, that those that pardon of his family members, I didn't realize that had happened when it did, because I was in the studio here locked in, keyed in on the events that were unfolding and making sure that we were on top of things there. And I did not realize that came through when I saw it. I thought it was a joke. It's not a joke.
No, this is ABC News. The preemptive pardons are to James Biden, which is Joe's younger brother, Sarah Jones Biden, which is James's wife. And these are names that are not even usually associated with the crimes of the possible family and all the 20 shell companies. Valerie Biden Owens, which is Joe's younger sister, John T. Owens, Valerie's husband, and Francis W. Biden, Joe's other younger brother.
So in addition to that, did you see Adam Schiff?
This is news to me.
Okay. So I'm going to pull this up here while we are talking here. Does that report that you just said give a detail on what the pardon entails for the Biden family?
I can find it. Take me a second.
Okay. Because all of these things, you plan these things ahead of time and then you release them at the very end. This is a USA Today, hopefully it lets me read this article, USA Today article authored by Joey Garrison and Bart Jansen on some of these other pardons. They report hours before leaving office, President Joe Biden on Monday issued blanket preemptive pardons for potential targets of Donald Trump in an unprecedented move to shield some of the incoming president's top foes from criminal prosecution. Those given pardons include Anthony Fauci, former director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, retired General Mark Milley, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the lawmakers and staffers from the House committee that investigated the Capitol attack on January 6, 2021. Those lawmakers include former GOP reps Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, and Senator Adam Schiff of California. Now, I'm going to play for you here real quickly. December 2020. Let's listen to Adam Schiff with MSNBC's Joy Reid.
Have you ever heard of somebody getting a preemptive pardon who was innocent of all crime? Who's just an innocent person? Have you ever heard of that? Just somebody getting a blanket pardon and they're an innocent person?
But no, I think that it's an effort not only to prospectively pardon people for things they have not yet been charged with and may never be charged with, but also it's the president's own family. It's people that have been covering up for the president in addition to his own family. This is the nature of those the president has surrounded himself with, including his family. And that is, it's been essentially a den of thieves environment. And so I think the president views this as his way of trying to protect those that have protected him.
You've got Senator Adam Schiff now receiving a preemptive pardon that goes all the way back to, it's the Hunter deal, 2014, all the way back there. And he says it's a den of thieves environment. And he said, this is back, remember, December of 2020. Think back to December of 2020. Joe Biden wins the election. Donald Trump says he didn't win the election. We're in this kind of purgatory of sorts. And we're waiting for the actual January 6th to take occur, where they potentially decertify. And then, of course, we know that Joe Biden ends up taking the oath of office, becomes president, tries to ruin the country in four years. Adam Schiff is saying, I've never heard of a preemptive pardon, and he's got one now. Things are changing. Let's get to, which room is he in here now? Does it say which room he's in? It's still on Capitol Hill. So President Trump is now sitting at a desk, a beautiful desk, I might add, a big, beautiful desk, in Capitol Hill, and he's putting pen to paper.
Every single order he's signing, he's handing to Will Scharf.
Our boy, Will Scharf. Perfect. Let's listen in and see the coverage here.
We have you with these documents.
Yeah, they're just
Trump might not be here.
It's the next step.
Big money.
It's a
tradition.
Sir, the first is 22 cabinet and cabinet level appointments for your signature. Okay. Will be 47 sub-cabinet level appointments, sir.
But you don't have to sign 47 times.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. 31 acting designations and appointments to effectively take control of the government.
Let's do that.
That's important.
That's important, isn't it?
We have 15 commission chairman and acting chairman appointments.
Send him.
Commission chairman and acting chairman.
He was number one at Harvard also. You know that?
Good counsel.
They have something in common.
Thank you, sir. Lastly, we have a proclamation ordering all future inauguration days, including this inauguration day, that flags shall be flown at full mast. Very important.
That was a beautiful place to have an inauguration tonight. The sound was so good. Temperature was 72 degrees, but the sound was so good. Maybe something to think about.
Thank you.
The good acoustics.
Yes.
All right. No. Thank you.
So you've got President Trump sitting at a desk, J.D. Vance, Speaker of the House, also Scalise, Hakeem Jeffries, Will Scharf, our boy, in the background. So he's, I don't know if I can call him. He's like a man now, right? He's grown up and gone to D.C.
Look.
Mr. Scharf goes to Washington.
He's the same guy he's always been. He's just now receiving executive orders straight from the president's hand.
Man, even you too could one day ascend from the ranks of the Annie Fry Show and do something as cool as what Will Scharf is doing
no,
right now.
No, I don't think I could.
No, this is it?
I don't think I could do what he's done.
I'll be here with you doing it all along. We gathered around the television here in the studio. I'm going to send that picture to Will and be like, we saw you on TV. They're like, guys. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get down to the bottom of what was just signed here at the Capitol. We know that there are a series of events that are going to take place today that are going to include pen to paper, marker to paper. You can hear that. You heard Speaker Johnson say the acoustics in here are fantastic. Let's get to the bottom of it when we return. What has been signed so far and what will be coming up? We're also going to speak with Hans von Spakovsky at 2:05 and get his reaction to the events of the day, the executive orders that are in place. We got to remember, there are a lot of these things that he's going to sign into. It's not law, it's an executive order, he's going to sign the executive orders, and then a lot of this stuff is going to get put into the court system, but he's going to do it. He said 200 today, potentially. You got it all right here on The Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's a good day. It's a good day. It's a good day. And we have a lot of news and information that's going to continue to come here and hit us hard. We're going to speak with Hans von Spakovsky in about 40 minutes from now, I think. And we're going to ask him about these executive orders that have taken place. Right now, it looks like they're getting ready to go to the congressional luncheon. I kind of forgot that they have to eat lunch.
Oh, it I seems never forget like, about that.
Don't, I know you don't. Don't waste time at a luncheon, but you got to eat. So it looks very nice. Looks very beautiful there. Is that? That's in the statue room. I'm so excited that I know these places now, that I've seen them just as like a 100% like a tourist.
I've never been there.
It's you have to go. I just was talking with Trisha. I'm going to say this on the air. Man, make it real. I was talking with Trisha last week, and I said, you know how like a lot of these shows will go on a trip to Europe? I don't want to go to Europe.
I would be fine with that, but...
If I went to Europe?
No, if we all went to Europe.
I want to take like an Annie Fry Show class trip to DC.
Okay.
And I want to go on like the tourist charter bus and everything, and we just get led around DC like it's the first time you've ever seen it.
That would be awesome. We also need to broadcast from there.
Yeah, that's part of the deal.
Okay, good.
Talk
to a whole bunch of people while we're there.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, it'd be great. Meet the president, walk around the Oval Office like we own the place.
When I went in May, at the beginning of May, it was, there was nobody there. Nobody working there. Every eighth grader in America was there. It was like, oh!
Well, that's good.
Teeming with people.
That's good. I like to hear that people are still making tours, seeing the Capitol, being a part of the process.
Then my husband and I went back over July 4th weekend. That's when the Cardinals were playing at Washington Nationals Park, and since it was a holiday, there weren't people there either. So it's an incredible thing to be able to go and to take it in. And I remember saying to my husband when we were there, I'm like, I want to come back if Trump wins. Everything just, I know we're on a particular side of this victory. I know we're excited about it. Trump is our guy. But everything feels better now. Like, there is a hope that exists now that every day that we woke up, came to do our job at work, it was like, how are we going to do this today? I'm so excited for every passing minute of news that we're about to get now.
It's funny on days like this with all the ceremony, because you do have people from both parties all together, and it's not a bad thing. But you can see why Washington is so slow to move, and why a disruptor is such a problem, because everybody kind of has the way that they go about things. You see people from opposite branches of the government, opposite parties, the sides of the government. I saw earlier, I think it was Mitch McConnell talking with Elena Kagan. You know, these are just things and images you don't see much, because Washington has a way about it, and they just kind of bring you in. You've seen it 1,000 times. Some congressman who runs on change, he goes there or she goes there and just kind of gets swallowed up in the system. That's what's so exciting about right now, is that we really do have a person who is not being swallowed up by Washington. They are there to do the opposite. You say, you're going to come at me? No, I'm coming at you with equal and opposite force to change this place.
Yeah. There's a steady drumbeat to what happens in D.C. And if you disrupt it, everybody gets out of line. Everybody gets like disconfigured to the point where CNN, the information that's coming in right now is, it's really important to dig in deep to some of the storylines that are happening around. Of course, yes, Donald Trump is President Donald Trump once again. Praise the Lord that Donald Trump is back. Watching Kamala Harris sit behind Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Joe Biden kind of has an old man appearance about him when he's sitting in a room, and that just is what it is. Kamala Harris, I do feel for Kamala Harris in the sense that to lose anything, I mean, that's the big, isn't that the biggest thing you can, as far as competition goes?
Much bigger.
I can't think of losing bigger, something bigger than what she lost. And I don't feel sorry for her as a candidate, as a politician, as a career woman. But if you can relate to that, that would just be incredibly painful to go through. And to listen to Donald Trump give a speech that lists item by item by item of everything that you worked for, it's just done.
Yeah, it's great. It's happening fast. It will happen fast.
It's great.
I think we're going to get done with today, us just even broadcasting, and go, what actually just happened?
Exhale.
Yeah. Cause
and just be like, that's real.
We're watching this happen. We're watching dramatic you know, I said this weekend, these confirmation hearings, sometimes they're kind of boring, and that's okay. You know, the more boring they are, actually, the better they're going. But these are people who are going to have a dramatic impact on your life. So that's why we're covering it. That's why we're talking about, you know, you're talking about Health and Human Services Secretary. That's somebody who could affect all the food you're eating. You talk about the Pam Bondi, head of the DOJ. This is somebody who's going to affect law enforcement across the entire country. These are people who are going to affect your life.
And that's the type of stuff that on the surface, people know this. They know that this is a dramatic change. But there are other storylines that you're going to see emerge here that are incredibly interesting. And it's going to be the reaction of the people who have had the whole rug pulled out from underneath them. What are they going to do? Because if you've been peddling a storyline and a narrative for a long time and it's been proven false or it's been upended completely... Let's take, for instance, CNN Politics on then Twitter, now X, December 3rd, 2020. CNN Politics tweets, President-elect Joe Biden says, this is December 3rd, 2020, so this is in that period of time after the election, before the inauguration, President-elect Joe Biden says he's concerned about reports that President Trump is considering a host of preemptive pardons for his adult children and lawyer Rudy Giuliani, as well as the possibility of one for himself. The reason why I highlight that December 3rd CNN Politics tweet is because that tweet today at 11:17 a.m. was retweeted by Jake Tapper of CNN with an image of the executive grant of clemency provided in his final act from former President Joe Biden to his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 family members. Be it known that I this day, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States, pursuant to my powers under Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution, have granted unto James Biden, Sarah Biden, Valerie Biden Owens, John Owens, Francis W. Biden, a full and unconditional pardon for any nonviolent offenses against the United States, which they may have committed or taken part in during the period from January 1st, 2014, through the date of this pardon. Jake Tapper, with a screenshot of that, retweets CNN Politics tweet of Joe Biden's concern with Donald Trump's contemplation of pardons for his family. Not the action of Donald Trump doing this. It was a thought crime for Donald Trump to even have considered this manifestation that the left is. You want to talk about fantasies that we heard about Rachel Maddow talking about before. And if I didn't provide any more context to that, you'd be like, what are they talking about? The Rachel Maddow comments about Donald Trump's speech and the fantasies that he was dabbling in when he was speaking about it. These people on the left manifest this thought crime of Donald Trump that he could potentially offer pardons to his family. And they did the dang thing themselves this year. And Jake Tapper is pointing it out to his followers in a retweet of a CNN Politics post in December of 2020. This is a pivotal moment in time. Yes, because of executive orders. Yes, because of Republican Congress. Yes, because of a Republican president. But the key issue here is, what is the culture doing? What is the legacy media doing? Will they react or will they continue to beat their head into the wall? I'm seeing a Rachel Maddow. She's sticking to the bit.
Yep.
And if you're MSNBC, I don't know why you'd stop now. What is CNN going to do? If CNN even starts to lean into that idea of reporting news, and yes, if you have a CNN where they have three liberal progressive commentators and one really strong conservative one, that's what Fox does in the converse. But they do present people who, if you're on the left, you're like, well, you know, Jessica Tarloff or Harold Reynolds or whomever it might be, Juan Williams, they represent me and you cheer for them. And you watch them. We know you watch them because the ratings say so. What happens if the people who run this swamp-ridden Washington, D.C. government? What happens if they don't have the cover for the media? And is the media chicken or egg? Is the media not doing it anymore because they're not going to have the cover in the swamp because there's a new sheriff in town because Donald Trump is back in the Oval Office. He is in charge and he knows exactly every single corner of this swamp-ridden government to go into to shine a light on. And he has been fearless in his nominees who will do that. They're not saying all the right things in the right ways so that they can try to slick by the swamp creatures in the Senate and get confirmed. They're saying it like it is. They're telling it like it is. And America voted for them saying it like it is. All this manufactured joy and, oh, those people over there, they're the racists and we're joy and we're like super masculine and Midwestern and normal. We're normal. They're weird. Everyone was like, stop it. You can't do this to us anymore. And if you don't have a media that is constantly on that steady drumbeat of beating it into your head that it's a whole gaslighting thing. You're like, I just don't really feel like this is the case, but everybody is saying it is, but I don't really feel like it's the case. That game is over. Today is the first day of living in reality. And it's going to be a bumpy ride. Just buckle up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is not going to be, look, today reminds me a whole lot of November 5th, when we got a moment to celebrate, and then in the middle of the night, we heard that Trump called his team back in and said, we're not going to take a day here. We took about 4 or 5 hours, but we're getting back to work immediately. We're in that 4 or 5 hours right now. This is the part where we celebrate. It's fun. We're hearing about everything that's going to happen. And then maybe even by the end of our show here, we're talking about the next hour and a half, you're going to see him at Capital One Arena signing executive orders. He's already signed a few. The work begins now. And pulling up tree roots isn't pretty. It isn't easy. Pulling up weeds is necessary. That's about what we're going to be experiencing in the next 100 days, is pulling up really bad roots of really bad things that have been planted.
Here's how you know things culturally are going to change through the media, that they're going to change as well. Alex Brusewitz, he's with X Strategies, but he's been kind of a lead on young influence on social media for the Trump campaign. Not always my cup of tea, but he wasn't out there trying to persuade me to vote for Donald Trump. He said, here to support, I'm going to put this up here on our live stream, here to support Donald Trump and America. And they are at the inauguration. And here you have a picture of Theo Von, Jake Paul, Logan Paul. I don't know who John Shahidi is, but he's got 500,000 people following him. I guess he may be like an agent or whatever, but this is not these faces, these massive influencers that are reaching into people's lives via videos, podcasts, audio, all of that stuff. These people had a huge, huge impact on Donald Trump's reelection. When folks like this come in and say, yeah, we're kind of for this guy and we're sick and tired of the micromanaging big government, big management of your everyday lifestyle. We're kind of wanting to do something else. Donald Trump keeps talking about how the youth of America, he's like, everybody thinks they're liberal. They're not as liberal as you think. These people, like the influence that came in to change, make this a change election, came from new places, which is why I think the staying power is bigger than it's been before.
You were talking with Will Cain last week about the generational shift that's happening in America. He's a very, very intelligent guy. He's on 97.1 every night. He's getting a Fox News show, or may have already started. He is Gen X. A lot of us are Gen X, millennials. You guys were talking about how many millennials and Gen X are in this government now. That gets overshadowed by the fact that Donald Trump is 78 years old. We talk about that a lot. We don't talk about the fact that J.D. Vance is one of the youngest vice presidents we've ever had. You know, these are generational shifts that are happening, not just in culture, but in government, too.
It's just amazing to see the celebrations that are taking place, to see the reaction that is taking place. Brad, you're manning a million things over there, and the different celebrations that are going on, the executive orders that are happening, mm-hmm. of course, the luncheon is taking place right now. It really is, it feels like a whole different vibe shift right now, with a new generation of people in there, with the ability to influence that new generation of people. I mean, there's going to be a lot more youth that are going to be open-minded to, okay, so what does this party stand for? What does this candidate stand for? People have been around the block a few times, and we're kind of getting to be close to that age of people. I mean, you've seen enough that you kind of know how
it works.
What goes around comes around,
yeah.
and on the whole, what people stand for. It's a very impactful change in politics on the whole. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more coverage of the events of the day. We're going to get to the news of those executive orders with Hans von Spakovsky at 2:05. We commented a little bit, I think, about this on the air, but the actual administration of the oath of office, there's a little controversy behind that. If you weren't watching, you may not have noticed it, but this is going to be something that is discussed. And we'll talk about that specifically when we come back. Did Donald Trump do the oath of office correctly? Did Chief Justice Roberts? Let's discuss when we come back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. That's Carrie Underwood. She sang a beautiful rendition of God Bless America. Music did not play in the rotunda. And she's standing there in front of all of these leaders of our country. And it's not playing, and it's not playing. And then she goes, I can just sing it. And then she kind of invites people to sing with her, and she did a wonderful job. Carrie Underwood there singing Champion, of course. So there's a little bit of drama behind the actual administration of the oath of office. If you were watching along with us, we made this comment on the air or up in the studio here. When they invited Donald Trump up to do the oath of office, the family, Chief Justice Roberts didn't even wait for the family to show up and surround him. Like, this is a very important moment. It is a photo op, of course. It is something that, you know, that photograph, whatever they come up with, will be in the Smithsonian someday. Like, this is an incredibly important time. And Chief Justice Roberts rushed through the thing so fast that his family did not get to, they were walking, like, Ivanka is walking up in the middle of it. I believe Melania was holding the Bible, which is he had two Bibles. The first one was the Bible that I think his mother gave him upon his christening or his confirmation. But it's a Bible that was his, that was given to him by his mother. And the other one was the Lincoln Bible. And, you know, the president puts his hand on the Bible, puts his right hand up and says the oath of office. He didn't put his hand on the Bible. I don't know that it was in position for him to do that. And Chief Justice Roberts was rushing through that. Would Chief Justice Roberts be that petty or that nervous? But how does that? I'm trying to think to myself the logical explanation of how something like that happens. And it feels to me like that's unexcusable.
I don't think it would be done on purpose. It is strange, though, on a day when nothing is rushed. Everything is okay. Now they've come in and they're going to sit down, and now we're going to play this next song, and now somebody else is going to walk in. For the actual oath of office to be rushed, because you're right, his whole family is supposed to stand around him. Tiffany Trump had not even gotten to where she was standing, which was right next to Joe Biden, actually, before he had started speaking. And so John Roberts, Chief Justice John Roberts, is rushing through this thing, and the Bibles are over there on the left of Donald Trump, being held by his wife, Melania. He's got his right hand up, and his left hand is just kind of floating.
It's very, very strange. The visual of it was very strange. So he began, I'm gonna share this video here, and you can see it if you haven't seen it yet, but he's going to give the oath of office, or to say the words and repeat the words. Chief Justice Roberts starts saying to him, raise your right hand. Melania isn't even there yet when the conversation or when the words start to be delivered for the oath to take place.
Yeah. Now he's already speaking and his family is just getting there. So she's not even up there with the Bibles ready to go by the time he's starting. It is, unfortunately, this is one of those things that people are going to talk about for a long time now.
You know, people will say, when President Trump put his hand on that Bible and said that he would, that is going to be a detail. He didn't put his hand on the Bible.
Yeah.
People are going to use this as an opportunity to talk about how he's a fake Christian. People are going to use this as an opportunity to say that he intentionally did this and that, you know, he made an oath, but he intentionally left his hand off the Bible. It's just, this is going to happen. It's going to be absurd. Because it is possible. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes things don't go according to plan. And maybe Chief Justice Roberts is like, oh my gosh, what was I doing? When he goes back to look at it. I would like for the Chief Justice to put out a statement about what happened. And kind of do a mea culpa on that.
Yeah, because it is... It would have been awkward for Donald Trump to stand there. He's got his right hand up, but everybody's ushering it around him. Chief Justice is speaking already. For him to say, no, hang on. You know, you can't really do that. You got to just follow what the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is leading there as you're taking the oath of office. But doggone it, if that's not going to come back as a thing people are talking about for a long, long time, symbolically or whatever.
Yeah, they're just going to make hay.
Yeah.
They made hay out of a lot less, honestly. But I will say, too, Donald Trump's face, he doesn't seem to mind.
No. And look, if you're worried about, oh, he didn't put his hand on the Bible, go back and listen to our 11 o'clock hour if you want to. Get the podcast or rewind or whatever you want. Listen to the prayers. They're awesome. And there are multiple of them. There are many different Christian speakers. I think there was a Jewish speaker as well. They were all offering blessings on this administration. Of course, we always talk about praying for your country. We've been doing that. I don't think this is anything. The reason we're even talking about it right now is to get ahead of all of the talking points, because there's going to be articles written tonight and tomorrow, and people will reference these things forever about, well, this is why this is, you know, we're experiencing this because symbolically Donald Trump didn't put his hand on the Bible. You'll hear these things. You will. It's not done on purpose. It was just moving too fast, mainly from the Chief Justice.
We do have people who are chatting with us right now who feel like Roberts did it on purpose.
Really?
I just think that if you're going to be passive aggressive about something, that's a pretty public way to be passive aggressive.
Ooh, that's a rough one.
Like, you're gonna have to have, that's what I'm saying, put out a statement, have an explanation. Because truly, Trump doesn't look upset while it's happening. I think that the kind of heartbreaking thing here, in the midst of a wonderful, wonderful day, like, this is not something that should ruin anybody's day at all. He's still the president of the United States, and that's good enough for me. But that the family couldn't be in position. I'm sure that Don Jr. is not very happy he didn't have a prime spot, and they all look like they're hustling in there. I'm glad you mentioned the preacher. Specifically, Lorenzo, this preacher who on this particular day, on Martin Luther King Day, as we have a new inauguration here of a new president, he delivered this, and we were all pretty excited in the studio listening to his
Heavenly
prayer.
Father, we're so grateful that you gave our 45th and now our 47th president a millimeter miracle. We are grateful that you are the one that have called him for such a time as this, that America would begin to dream again. We pray that we would fulfill the true meaning of our creed, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. We pray that you use our president, that we would live in a nation. Well, we will not be judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful today that you will use our 47th president so we would sing with new meaning, my country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and because America is called to be a great nation, We believe that you will make this come true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. Or from the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous hilltops of California, but God, we're asking you not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and every molehill in Mississippi, from every state, every city, every village, and every hamlet. And when we let freedom ring, we will be able to speed up that day where all of your children, black men and white men, Protestant and Catholic, Jew and Gentile, will be able to sing in the meaning of that old Negro spiritual, free at last. Free at last. Thank you, God Almighty. We are free at last. If you believe what the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Come on, put your hands together and give your great God great glory.
Yeah, it's worth hearing twice.
Heck yeah. You don't get up there. Look, there are prayers at a lot of events, but a lot of them are rather generic. You don't get up in the midst of the inauguration and say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, if you're trying to be generic. You just don't. That's what I love about that.
It was awesome to take in that moment. It's a really great punctuation on the end of an important ceremony here. And we got it covered for you here on the Annie Fry Show as we continue to move through this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, this Inauguration Day. The news continues to come. President Trump is back. And we are here with you. When we return, Hans von Spakovsky is going to join us, and we're going to get his expert opinions on some of the executive orders that have been announced. Ryan, you and I are going to go through these and talk about them in the 2 o'clock hour. They say 200 executive orders could be coming down today. And there's a lot to do. We've seen that the CBP app that immigrants have been using to come into the country and schedule a court date, it's gone. It's gone. And Donald Trump is back. Don't go away. We'll be here in just a few minutes. Don't.